Hello, and welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist's perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Music for today's episode comes from the Loon Blue Trio's new CD, Indigo. Episode 36 is one of those super practical, everyone can use it kind of episodes. At one point or another, in each of our careers, we will inevitably be asked to perform for someone's wedding. Whether weddings are your primary source of income or your side hustle, they provide great financial and musical opportunities to the harpist who is willing to put in the work. Spring is quickly approaching, which means wedding season is about to go into full swing for the vast majority of us. So, whether this season brings your first wedding or your 101st, this episode provides some practical advice for keeping things fresh and providing the best services for your clients possible. To help me with this, I have two very special guests. First, harpist Kristen Elizabeth Hoyos, a Tampa-based freelancer who has a few tips for anyone looking for a little off-season training, and harpist Angela Schwarzkopf, a recent bride who shares how that experience has changed the way she deals with her own wedding clients. We'll start things off with Kristen Elizabeth. Since this is her first time on the podcast, I'll have her introduce herself, followed by a little get-to-know-you chit-chat.
I'm Kristen Elizabeth Hoyos. I go by Kristen, even though Kristen Elizabeth is my full name. I am a freelance wedding and event harpist based out of beautiful Tampa, Florida. You know we're lucky in Florida. We have such a long season because of our weather. I'm very fortunate to be doing weddings and events in Florida because of the weather, except in the summer, which thankfully I don't do a lot of those unless they're inside.
How many weddings would you say you play a season?
I probably do about 40 weddings a season. And granted, we do have a long season. So it starts to get busy for me around October and it continues until about May-ish. So 3 months in the summer, we don't do two or 4 months. Don't really do too much.
Okay. So when's your next event?
Sunday.
A wedding?
Yeah.
Is this the first time you've written for Harp Column?
It is. It is the first time I've written for Harp Column. I love writing and I blog on my website. I talk about weddings and events that I do. And so I was very honored to be asked to write an article about, you know, how to prepare for wedding season. I'm very honored.
Kristen's article, Off-Season Training, published in the January-February 2018 issue of Harp Column magazine, boasts no less than 18 things that you can do now to get ready for your wedding season, with everything from advice on interacting with social media followers to info on networking, bridal shows, and so much more. This article is the perfect inspiration to help push you into your best wedding season ever. Not necessarily looking to play weddings? Don't worry. Literally everything in her article and in this podcast can be translated to basically any project, goal, or life endeavor. Because as Kristen puts it,
you really have to love what you do. You really have to enjoy weddings. Otherwise, it's going to be way too stressful because it's a big moment for these people. So there's a lot of pressure to do and perform well and to be everything that they expect you to be. I personally love it. I love going to every single wedding, even though I could probably recite to you some of the ceremony portion because I've heard some of these things so many times, but every wedding is different, even though it's all the same thing at the end of the day. They're all getting married, but every wedding has its differences. And I really love. I always joke with my husband. I'm like, babe, every wedding I go to is like me renewing my vows to you because they're talking about the ones that they love. And I'm sitting here thinking, aw, I love my husband. So he loves it because I come home all lovey-dovey.
We started out by talking about social media and what a powerful tool it can be in connecting potential clients. Can you talk a little bit about how you feel technology has affected the way musicians find work and communicate with our audiences?
The amazing thing about technology is how it has affected harpists, because I have so many students. I'm like, so what made you want to learn the harp? Number one answer, YouTube. They see somebody playing the harp on YouTube, and that inspires them. I don't know how you started with the harp, but for me personally, it wasn't, I want to play the harp. Never had I ever thought about it, because I wasn't exposed to it. I got into playing the harp because it was offered to me, because I knew how to play piano and I went to a performing arts school. They're like, hey, we offer harp twice a week for 15 minutes. Do you want to miss seventh period? And I was like, I hate seventh period. Sign me up. And that's how I got into it, you know? So it's cool now because people are being more exposed to the harp. So there is a growing audience for sure.
If you're looking to expand your wedding gig book this season, head over to www.harpcolumnmusic.com to check out a recent blog post by our founder, Kim Rowe, covering 5 original harp solos that she thinks brides will love, that are all available for purchase on Harp Column Music. I've been freelancing for a few years now. I consider myself fairly savvy when it comes to staying up with the most recent technology available. But when I got to number 17 on Kristen's 18-point list, I had to pause. I have never even heard of such a thing as a customer relationship management service.
It's taken some trial and error to find a program that works for me, and there's many different ones out there. But nowadays, there's sometimes I don't even meet with a client until the day of their wedding or day of their event. So you want to make things easy for them. You want to make things convenient for them. And that's to do it electronically. So I have this program. I use 17 Hats. When they initially contact me, if they contact me through my website, it automatically gets sent over to the software. And then I'm able to create their entire project from start to finish. It's fantastic. I send my invoices. I'm able to quote them electronically. I even do contracts electronically. And then once I send their quote, they're able to accept the quote, and it automatically gets added to my calendar. I can't tell you how many nightmares I've had about missing an event or a wedding. Did I put it on the calendar? Is it there? Oh my gosh. So it makes it so easy for me to keep track of things. Love it.
Okay. I need this in my life.
You do. Absolutely. If not 17 Hats, something like it, because it makes it so easy to stay organized, and I need some organization.
Have you seen Harp Column on social media or click through to a news story on our website? Maybe you've listened to Harp Column podcast or gotten one of our email newsletters. However you interact with Harp Column, we want to make sure that you are getting the very best of what we have to offer, which is the magazine we began publishing 25 years ago. That's right, 2018 marks the 25th anniversary of Harp Column magazine. And Harp Column is still bringing practical news to practical harpists around the world 6 times a year, and now also in digital format. Did you know that Harp Column magazine supports all of our other projects? That's why we could really use your help. Subscribe to Harp Column magazine today so we can continue bringing you all of the harp news and updates you've come to expect from us. Just go to www.harpcolumn.com to sign up today, and you'll receive our May issue in your mailbox. We know you won't want to miss an issue. If you're a true friend of the pod, you'll remember Angela from all the way back in episode 5 of Harp Column Podcast. Angela is a professional freelance harpist and teacher in the Greater Toronto Area. For the January-February 2018 issue of Harp Column, she contributed an article titled From the Eyes of a Recent Bride. As a relatively recent bride myself, I was excited to hear more about her experience and what she had learned from being on the other side of the process.
We got married in August.
August. Awesome. That wasn't very long ago at all.
No, it was really recent. It was like,
that's
as I was
cool.
The wedding experience, I was like, Allison, I've got an article idea for you.
Perfect. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really interesting and a different kind of perspective.
Yeah. Well, it definitely started changing the way that I thought about things for sure. It was a very different experience being on the other end.
Did you hire any musicians for your wedding?
I did. I had a lot of friends play at my wedding as their wedding present for us. And then I did hire some musicians to play in for the reception, for the like be hired a band. There was like a very heavy musical component to our wedding day.
Did you find that your experience with the musicians was better or worse as compared with the other vendors?
The band that I hired, it was a teaching colleague of mine who was putting together the band. So I did feel a little bit like maybe he was like, calm down, crazy bride. The information is coming. It wasn't very official, the hiring, because we didn't have a contract or anything like that. But it was okay. Like, I was trying to be pretty chill about it. With all of our friends that played, it was pretty easy to deal with them. They were pretty great. I would say the musicians were the easiest people to deal with. And probably because I was hired, like, I hired people I knew and I had friends that played for music, that didn't seem hard for me. Whereas everybody that I hired that I didn't know or have a personal relationship with, it seemed a lot more challenging to communicate with them. And then it made me feel a little bit worried about the quality of their service because I went to expect based on their communication skills.
So who would you say, out of all the vendors that you hired, which one would you say was the best as far as communication goes, everything all around? And what was it about what they did that you particularly liked?
I guess, wow, I feel like they all were not great with communication. I would have to say, I'm trying to think which would be the best out of them. In terms of vendors, like I had my venue and they did all the meals and decorating and all that stuff for us. We were, you know, we basically had a turnkey venue, which was awesome. And then I had my hairstylist, makeup artist that I was dealing with. And then florist and photographer, and we special ordered our rings from a custom vendor, so that was another one too. I would say that I think our photographer acted fairly professional in terms of how she sent out emails, and she would, you know, send us sort of like a survey type fillable form before our wedding to make sure she had all the information and details and our color scheme and all that kind of stuff down pat. So she was very professional in that sense. That was really great. She was also our youngest vendor, which I thought was kind of interesting. She seemed to be the most on top of like being organized and like current in how she presented her information. Our venue was really good too. They just weren't very good with how they share the information with you. Like all of their emails did not have a subject line. So this is what I meant when I was like, use clear subject lines, because I could never find information from them. And I'd be like, I know you told me X, Y, and Z. And then I'd go back through my emails and I just would never be able to find it again.
I just had never even thought about that, but it's like a brilliant. When I read that in your article, I was like, mind blown.
I know. And it's funny, yeah. I hadn't really thought about why this would be important either. So I was sending an email to a bride today and I was like, wrote the clearest subject line of all time. Like, normally I'd just be like, wedding harpist. And now it's like, wedding harpist for September 8th, 2018, like ceremony music, blah, like I was such a long subject line. It was like, I have to make this super clear for her.
She's going to be able to find it.
She's going to be able to find it. And it's going to be really helpful, I hope.
And you're going to be able to find it, you know, 2 weeks before the wedding when you're looking back and trying to figure out what she decided on for you to play.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, totally. And I even had one embarrassing situation maybe about a year ago where I realized this wedding was coming up and I had written down the song that she had specially requested. It was out of town and I wanted to look it up online just to make sure that I could like in fact buy it after I had promised that I would play this obscure song for her. And I remember emailing her being like, just confirming the title of your song is blah blah blah, and she wrote back and she was like, nope, that's not it at all. And I just felt so unprofessional and so embarrassed that, you know, I didn't have my notes together and I didn't have my information clear and I had to email her and ask an obnoxious question, and now even feel more guilty, like, wow, that must have been really frustrating for her.
There are clients of all kinds, but brides are a different sort altogether. Getting married is at once the most joyful and most stressful thing you can do. And we as wedding harpists should strive only to make that process easier for our clients. Next time you're working with a bride and they seem like they maybe have gone a little nuts, take a step back and try to see things from their perspective. Maybe their florist hasn't responded to an email in 3 weeks. Or her soon-to-be in-laws are insisting on hiring the local polka band for the reception. Maybe her stress has nothing to do with you. Or maybe it does. Like Angela said, when a bride doesn't have a personal connection with you, it is only through your communication with them that they are able to judge your capacity to accomplish the task that they have given you. We can't always be perfect, and there will inevitably be some delayed contracts or recordings in the future, but being aware is the first step, and simply trying makes up for all the rest. To finish our episode, I wanted to bring back Kristen Elizabeth for an update on her predictions of the most popular songs for 2018 nuptials, which can be found in her article, Off-Season Training, in the January-February 2018 issue of Harp Column.
They put my top songs for next year, and that was before I heard the song Perfect by Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran's very popular. Perfect is definitely going to be a top song for weddings this year. So learn Perfect. Very, very simple. Anybody can play it. And I also put I Get to Love You. It's a song that came out maybe 2 years ago. And I'm just hoping and wishing that this song becomes the it song for weddings. It is beautiful and it's the perfect song. And my favorite line from the song is, I get to love you. It's the best thing that I'll ever do.
I get to love you. It's the best thing that I'll ever do. I get to love you. It's a promise I'm making to you. Whatever may come, your heart I will.
That's it for our 36th episode. Many thanks to Kristen Elizabeth Hoyos and Angela Schwarzkopf for speaking with us today. Music for today's episode comes from Loon Blue Trio's new CD, Indigo, featuring Clotilde Troyliard on harp, reviewed in the January-February issue of Harp Column by Allison Young. To learn more about Harp Column, please visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe today to gain access to current and past issues, as well as a lot of great web content. My name is Dr. Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope that you have a spectacular week.